Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, who is coming again. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, we've already celebrated the Reformation here at the seminary, and we celebrated again yesterday in our churches. But brothers and sisters, this is the real one. Today we mark the beginning of a year-long celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation using the theme, "It's Still All About Jesus." And so on this mere 499th anniversary, we turn our attention to these words from Revelation 14. It's really like a scene from a video game. A ferocious red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and an enormous tail that can sweep stars out of the heavens wages war against everyone who believes in Jesus. And with him a beast that rises from the sea. It looks like a leopard. It has paws like a bear and the mouth of a lion, and it's given authority over every nation, tribe, and people. And a second beast rises from the earth, and it's given authority and power to perform miracles and even rain down fire from the sky. It comes as the enforcer to make sure that everyone is worshiping the first beast. It's a terrifying vision when you know that these evil ones have you and your loved ones in their sights. John saw the dragon. And he saw the beasts and he saw their work, but now cut off from the church, exiled on the island of Patmos, he feared the damage and the destruction that the Romans and their idolatry were inflicting upon his church. The casualties that Satan was racking up as he attacked the people that he loved. This was no game. It was real. And John and his fellow believers feared for their lives. They feared for the survival of the church. They feared lest the gospel be silenced in their generation. And so the Lord sought to comfort them and to embolden them with this spectacular vision. John saw a lamb, the Lamb, who had already done battle with the evil one. He's standing now on Mount Zion, surrounded by a multitude. 144,000 saints who had washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They bear his name. They've been redeemed by his blood. They are blameless. And now they are singing a new song. It's a victory celebration. And then John saw this first angel. A messenger from God flying in the midst of heaven where it could be seen and heard by all, having an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who still dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. An eternal gospel. Good news for those who still dwell upon the earth. Our sin has been completely atoned for. Not by our own good works, not by our penance, not by our indulgences, but fully, freely, completely by the blood of the Lamb. Good news that by his death and his resurrection, Jesus has won the victory over the evil one, and he has set us all free. But this good news is a message of both law and gospel. In a loud voice, the angel proclaims, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth." He used 3 aorist imperatives, "Fear God, give him glory, worship him, because the hour of his judgment has come." In recent weeks, we've heard again and again the call, "Fear God." And at first glance, that doesn't sound like gospel, But it is a gracious call to repentance. Even as the day of judgment approaches, God still calls all people to turn to Him. He calls them to faith. He calls them to share the victory over the evil one, to join the multitude washed in His blood, and to sing the new song. It's an eternal gospel. It has always been and it always will be true. It never changes, even as Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so it was true for Adam and Eve. Our first parents, defeated by the dragon, fallen into sin, ashamed, embarrassed, hiding from God, but He came looking for them. He called them by name, He clothed them, He forgave them, and He gave them a promise of a son, a redeemer. It's true for Abraham, living in an idolatrous area, called to leave his father's house and everything familiar to go to a land that God would show him, and he went because he was clinging to the promise of a land and a son. It was true for Moses. Saw God in a burning bush, sent to set God's people free. Led them through a hostile territory because he believed in a promised land. It was true for King David, who abused his power and his authority in that whole scandal with Bathsheba and the killing and murder of Uriah the Hittite. And yet, when Nathan confronted him with his sin, he willingly, eagerly confessed what he had done, and the Lord put away his sin. It was true for Simon Peter, who had denied his Lord three times in order to save his own skin. And yet the risen Savior greeted him on the seashore and called him and trusted him to care for his precious lambs and sheep. It was true for Saul, the persecutor, trying his best to silence the gospel, struck down on the road and called, sent to be an apostle with a gospel which is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. And so it was true. It always has been true. It always will be true. And it was true for John and his fellow believers as they faced the dragon's attack. 1,500 years later, at the time of the Reformation, the church was under attack once again, this time from within. The gospel was nearly silenced. Martin Luther recognized his struggle with the evil one. He talked about his fear. He said, "I hated the word, the righteousness of God," which I had been taught to understand as God is righteous and punishes the unrighteous sinner. "So even though I lived as a monk without reproach, I felt I was a sinner before God with an extremely disturbed conscience. I didn't love. I hated the righteous God who punishes sinners, and secretly I was angry with God. Thus I raged with a fierce and troubled conscience. But at last, by the mercy of God, meditating day and night, I gave heed to the words recorded in the book of Romans. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, 'The righteous will live by faith.' Then I began to understand that the righteousness of God is a gift of God by faith. Here I felt that I was altogether born again and had entered paradise itself through open gates." In Luther's funeral sermon, his pastor, Johannes Bugenhagen, interpreted the words of today's text. He said the angel who says, "Fear God and give him the honor," was Dr. Martin Luther. And what is written here, "Fear God and give him honor," are the two parts of Dr. Martin Luther's doctrine, the law and the gospel, through which all of Scripture is unlocked. In Christ, our righteousness and eternal life is recognized. Luther had seen the ancient dragon, and he'd struggled under his attacks personally, and he had seen the damage that was being done to the church of his time. But he'd also seen and heard the eternal angel with a gospel that was real, a gospel that was true, a gospel that was eternal. And it's why Martin Luther taught us to sing with John, "Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him." Brothers and sisters in Christ, you've seen the dragon too. You know, don't you, that in a very real way you are in his sights, and so are the people that you love. And this isn't a game. This is true. And it's terrifying. Consider the world that you and I live in at this time in history. It's a world just like the world of John's day. There are so many around us today who are dying under the power of the dragon. In the midst of a political system that has gone absolutely crazy, and we fear our future. In a government that we don't know that we can trust. In the midst of what many are calling a post-Christian, an anti-Christian culture that presses every one of us to worship the dragon. And inside the church we see division as brothers and sisters are treating one another like enemies. There are Pharisees and hypocrites and false teachers. And in the midst of it all, we see the dragon seeking to silence the gospel again today. And you see marriages and families pressured and overwhelmed by the world, struck by sin, torn apart, with their confidence in God badly shaken. And there too you see the dragon. And it's terrifying what he's doing to the people that you love. And then you look at your own life, and here too you see the dragon, and he's coming after you. You've tried your very best to resist him, to fight him with your own power, but you've been beaten up and you've fallen and you've become addicted to the things of this world. In those moments, your conscience begins to bother you, and so you seek to do absolutely everything in your own power to atone for your sin. You hide, you cover up, you blame. You work your tail off, but your conscience won't give you any peace. And then the old adversary just laughs at you. He leaves you helpless and hopeless and afraid. But on this Reformation Day, see and hear the angel sent from God with an eternal gospel. He is sent to strengthen and encourage you and set your conscience at peace. Jesus died for you. He has atoned for all of your sins, not your works, not your penance, not your own righteousness, but he has atoned by his blood. You are forgiven and you are free, and there is nothing that the evil one can do to rob you of that truth. You have been justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And there is nothing in all creation that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus your Lord. This is the gospel that the angel still proclaims in a loud voice to all who dwell on earth, to every tribe and language and nation and people, to you and to me. Sometimes I fear that our observations of the Reformation have become little more than proud celebrations of our heritage, a recital of our history. Like everybody else, I love to sing the hymns. We eat our sausage and we drink our beer and we proudly insist that we have the truth. We have been appointed to be the guardians of the gospel. And I don't want to make light of our history. I celebrate our heritage. I'm all about the pure word of God. But today, listen to the call of the angel, a call to proclaim an eternal gospel to all people. Jesus died for the sins of the world, for all who dwell on the earth. People who are living today, living among us, still in a pre-Christian culture, needing to hear this eternal gospel for them. People in distant lands who have never heard the eternal gospel. Remember our leaders, our church, our families. And what about generations still to come? It's really my prayer that this 500th anniversary of the Reformation would refocus our attention on the mission, proclaiming an eternal gospel to every tribe, nation, language, and people. For by the grace of God, I'm convinced that John's vision is still coming true. The dragon is still defeated. The Reformation isn't a point 499 years ago, but it's something that's still happening today. God is still preserving his church. And the eternal gospel is still being proclaimed here and around the world. And it's still all about Jesus. In his holy name, amen.